key economic releases affecting fixed income yields. Insights into sectors influencing fixed income securities. How AAM plans to capitalize on these themes for your fixed income portfolio. The Portfolio Fix is a podcast series featuring members of AAM's investment and portfolio management team. We will discuss the timely issues affecting the fixed income investments of our insurance clients.
Welcome to another episode of the Portfolio Fix, a podcast series from AAM. My name is Patrick McGeever, and I'm a member of AAM's investment team. As usual, Marco Bravo will provide AAM's latest views on the economy, and then Mike Ashley will join us to talk about the strength of the consumer in the retail sector. So welcome, Marco.
Thanks, Pat. Great to be here.
It's great to have you. It's been a whirlwind of a 24 hours. The Fed met yesterday. Their statement highlighted that growth had slowed and that inflation was easing but was still elevated. They also added the word any when talking about additional policy firming that may be appropriate. What else did you learn or surprise you about the Fed statement or Chairman Powell's press conference?
Well, I think the biggest surprise came from Powell's press conference, where the market, and to be honest, AAM as well, were expecting Powell to kind of push back against the recent easing in financial conditions. And what I mean by that is, if you kind of go back to the end of October, the futures market, the Fed funds futures market, was pricing in 2 to 3 rate cuts by the end of 2024. And at the end of November, or actually right, you know, the day before the Fed meeting, the futures market was pricing in 4 to 5 rate cuts. So there was this expectation of more rate cuts. Mm-hmm. And also during the month of November, the yield on the 10-year treasury bond fell by 60 basis points. So there was this easing in financial conditions, more aggressive rate cuts. And I expected the Powell to kind of push back a little bit on that, but he actually didn't. And he somewhat added fuel with statements like that rate cuts were being discussed, and quote, you know, when they think it's appropriate to begin dialing back the amount of policy restraints. So those discussions were beginning to occur. Mm-hmm. And Powell himself was asked if he was comfortable with the market's expectation of rate cuts, and really didn't say anything to suggest that he had any concern. So that was really the most surprising, mm-hmm, to come out of the press conference. And, you know, by the end of the day, treasury yields fell even more. They were down, you know, call it 13 to 30 basis points across the curve, with the 2-year falling the most, and futures market now pricing in 5 to 6 rate cuts.
Quite the dovish take, for sure. You talked about yields here. The yield on the 10-year now is below 4%. That's the lowest since August 2023, and it's basically a 100 basis point round trip in 5 months. So what do you think the bond market is telling us?
Well, if you look at the change in the 10-year, and separate out kind of inflation expectations or market implied inflation expectations and real yields, the real yield on the 10-year since mid-October is down about 67 basis points, and that is we believe reflecting expectations for looser monetary policy going forward. So expectation that the Fed is done and the next move is lower. And the remaining, the remaining difference is largely due to falling inflation expectations. So I think the message that the market is sending is that this falling inflation environment or softening inflation environment is going to continue into 2024. That's going to allow the Fed to begin cutting interest rates. The yield curve remains inverted. So that's, you know, that's the sign that rates are going to be lower in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, the market seems to think that the Fed is going to stick soft landing. That's for sure, with inflation somewhere around 2%, unemployment somewhere around 4%, and positive GDP growth. So we'll see where it ultimately shakes out. Maybe we can wrap up with a summary of AAM's outlook for 2024. Maybe you can just let the audience know what we're thinking in terms of growth, treasury rates, and Fed actions over the next year or so.
Sure. And I think you can categorize our outlook kind of in that soft landing camp, where we do think GDP growth, economic activity will slow from 2023's pace, but remain positive, below trend. So we think GDP growth likely comes in, you know, between 0 and 1% next year. 10-year treasury yield, you know, there's been so much volatility in the bond market. I hate to put a number on it today, but
I hope everybody forgives us if we're off by 100 basis points next year.
Our forecast right now is 10-year treasury yields end next year at 3.8%. So call a range of 3.5 to 4%.
Mm-hmm.
And our expectation is for the Fed to cut rates by 3 to 4. So call it 75 to 100 basis points in total rate cuts for 2024.
Great. It's very helpful, Marco. Thanks for explaining everything to us. Much appreciated.
You bet. Thanks, Ben.
Next, we're joined by Mike Ashley, a member of our investment team and the co-head of Investment Grade Strategy. So welcome, Mike.
Hey, Pat. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Good.
You're going to speak to us about retail and the consumer today. And on our last podcast, Marco and I were reviewing our economic calls from this time last year. And we made a number of good calls, the company did. But one item that we missed on was economic growth. And he highlighted that we missed our estimate because we underestimated the strength and the resilience of the consumer. And so I went back and I listened to last year's podcast that we had with you on the consumer. And you said job stability was very evident, which supports the consumer's willingness to spend. And you went on to say that excess savings is still a tailwind and the consumer is very strong. So with hindsight being 2020, we definitely should have placed more weight on your comments about the consumer. That would have helped us for sure. So with that in mind, let's get your take on the consumer now. Talk to us about the consumer's view on their job situation. Do they still feel confident about their job and their ability to get a new one? What's your view on this?
Yeah, sure. The job situation for consumers, I think, continues to look strong. And we look to a few stats that make us feel comfortable. First, unemployment remains historically low. We have stayed below 4% since February of 2022. On top of that, we've also seen the participation rate go up. So that's also a nice stat to look to. Another thing is just the nominal wage growth. And there's different ways to look at that, but we like what the Atlanta Fed puts out. And that remains high. You know, we have seen that figure above 5% since the end of 2021. Now, having said that, the growth has been steadily coming down. We saw the peak at 6.7%, and at the end of October, that had come down to 5.2%. So it's coming down, but still looks historically strong. And then finally, we've looked at a number of different surveys, and they're really not showing any major concerns related to jobs. And this is even the case when you break it down by different income categories. So all those things look pretty positive from a consumer's and their job situation perspective.
Okay. Well, that's reassuring as we look out to 2024. One of the other tailwinds from last year was obviously excess savings. And there's been a lot of discussion about that over the past year. What can you tell us about excess savings going into 2024?
Yeah, excess savings has been a very important factor when thinking about the health of the consumer and their willingness to spend. This is something that we've continued to look at and has been talked about a lot in the press and in the financial markets. I just keep in mind that the calculation of this is not an observable number. So there's some debate around what to use as a trend line for the household savings rate going forward. So I think there's been some different interpretations of the excess savings among different groups. But anyway you cut it, it looks as if this excess savings runs out sometime in early 2024. And actually it looks like it has already run out for the lower income folks. Something else to watch that probably isn't as well known and talked about is something called the household checkable deposit. These are figures published by the Federal Reserve. And these household checkable deposits include checking accounts, savings accounts, and money market funds. This is a figure that it includes personal savings and more than anything else, probably proceeds from investments from households. So at the end of second quarter of this year, that number was $3 trillion above where we started at the end of 2019. So very large number, very powerful number. But again, when you sort of break it down by income categories, it's fairly highly concentrated in the higher income group only. It looks as if this number is back to normal for the lower income folks. Mm-hmm. So, really at the end of the day, these numbers remain pretty strong, but you have to consider they're not as positive as they probably look given the higher concentration in the upper income quintiles. Okay. So,
that's interesting. That checkable savings number is still so large, $3 trillion. Still sounds like it could provide a tailwind going into 2024. So if wage growth is easing, like you said, and excess savings is becoming depleted for at least the 80% of the population, the four lowest quintiles, consumers have options. They can either slow spending or rely on credit to maintain that spending level. So what trends are you seeing with credit right now? Are they still spending as they have in the past?
Yeah, that's a good point. And yes, they are. In terms of credit and listening to earnings calls from retail, management has been talking about seeing some deterioration in the performance of their credit card holders. So nothing alarming at this point, but something obviously to closely watch, especially as we move through fourth quarter and hear from management again at the beginning of next year. But yeah, credit card balances continue to creep up. We are well above pre-COVID levels for sure. Different ways to look at this. You know, one of the things that I think is interesting is something called the household financial obligations ratio. And this is disposable personal income divided by debt payments. And the debt payments include things like mortgage, rent, auto lease, insurance, and property tax. So this figure is historically low, but also has been moving up. You know, as of the second quarter of this year, we were at 14.45%, and that compares to pre-COVID levels of 14.69%. So what I guess I'm saying in terms of credit, where credit cards are being used widely, those balances are high, starting to see some performance issues, nothing alarming, but we are seeing those issues pop up. But as of right now, things look pretty decent. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So have you been able to observe any trends? Are consumers spending in certain areas that might make you feel more optimistic about the consumer or less optimistic about the consumer? And I guess maybe we could just wrap up by what's your view for the 2023 holiday season?
Yeah, it's overall, I think spending trends continue to be pretty positive. Two areas that we like to think about and focus on when you talk to consumers and look at different surveys, when things start to fall off and consumers get concerned with their jobs or their credit card balances, they seem to first slow spending in travel and restaurant spending.
Mm-hmm.
So we took a little closer look at those things, and based on what we're seeing and hearing from companies, really the demand in these areas remains strong. So that makes me feel a little bit more optimistic at this point. In terms of retail spending, we have seen mostly above consensus surprises this year in the monthly advanced retail sales figures provided by the Census Bureau. It does look like growth in retail is returning to its longer-term trend. We have seen growth in the last 8 months kind of range between, you know, positive 2.5% to 3.5%. So it seems like it's finding its trend line back to where we were seeing pre-COVID. And then finally, another trend that we focus on is back-to-school spending. And these are retail sales in August and September. And this is a very highly correlated to holiday sales. So for this year, that the back-to-school number came in at 2.9%. That is down. Last year, we had a very strong number. It was positive 8.5%. And so we look to the holiday season this year. Our prediction is something in the mid-single digits, positive.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we saw 5.8%, which is another good year above historical trends. But I think we come somewhere in mid-single digits, probably below 5%, 3-4%, something like that.
Okay.
So, Pat, you know, yeah, it's you know, given all this information, there's a lot to take in. There's still positive momentum from the consumer to turn out solid spending for the holiday season. You know, I think the bigger concern is what happens when the euphoria of the holidays wears off and we enter into 2024. You know, it seems like looking at all these things, we're coming off the highs, and it looks like capacity for spending will be lower, and we expect to see these retail spending numbers come down as we move throughout 2024. So that's sort of overall in a nutshell what we're thinking.
Okay. Well, given your track record from last year, this is very, very useful information, Mike. So thanks for all that. Of course, want to thank you, the listener, for taking the time to listen to our podcast. If you have any questions, please reach out to your portfolio manager or our marketing team at aamcompany.com. During our next podcast, I'll be joined by Marco and a member of our investment team to discuss a timely issue affecting the fixed income markets. Thanks.